good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Kevin Stevenson, and thanks for joining me on I Don't Care with, of course, me, Kevin Stevenson. I'm really excited about today's guest, like I usually am, but this is one of my new favorite topics that I will admit that I know very little about, but I'm learning. And so I wanted to bring somebody on who knows this incredibly well. And so today's guest is Dr. Lena Boyad. Am I right? Was that right, Lena? Was that close?
Yes, perfect. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good, good. And Lena is the founder and CEO of Luba. And so welcome, Dr. Lena, to I Don't Care.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. And again, I'm incredibly jealous. Viewers and that is a legitimate background. It's not one of those fake backgrounds that people put up. Lena is actually in downtown Tampa. Is that what I heard?
Yep. This is the beautiful downtown Tampa over here in the background.
Yeah. You know, here in Central Texas, we don't get views of water like that. Well, I shouldn't say that. We've had some record rains here. So our lake is a little high, but we still don't get views like that. So, again, happy to have you on, Lena. And so tell my audience a little bit about you, kind of your background, and then let's talk a little bit about Luba.
Absolutely. So my background is in computer science and engineering. That was my bachelor's. Then I switched to management information systems for master and PhD. So I am an associate professor at FIU, Florida International University. I'm also the director of the MBA in artificial intelligence program. And then recently I founded Luba with my husband, who is a pain doctor. Pain management doctor. And initially, we started Luba to build games for patients, but it's quickly steered to an AI tool for providers. So the tool is based on over 10 years of research in NLP, which is a part of AI. So that's natural language processing and predictive analytics. I've been doing that with the VA. I worked on several grants with the VA, analyzing billions of records, patient data, and building models, predictive models, and natural language processing models. So we used all of that because my husband said, okay, well, you do all of these great things in research and we never see it in the practice. How can you help us? So that's how it started. So I built the software actually for him to help him with documentation because it used to take him hours and hours of documentation. But then after the product was ready, everybody started asking for it. So the product, our tool, it uses AI. It records the patient-provider conversation. So as you're talking to as the provider is talking to the patient, it records the entire conversation and then it extracts the medical information. So anything that's related to the disease or medical history of the patient's diagnosis plan, et cetera. And then it puts it in a format that could be submitted with the claim. So in a software format.
Yeah. Okay. So very good. So you said the company, you said it was developed to develop games for patients. So I want to hear a little bit more about that side. That's kind of interesting.
So we started working on games that were developed in research settings. So these games would help with autism. They would help with attention deficit. They would help with mental health, anxiety, et cetera. But it quickly steered away to something that the providers needed because there was such a huge need in the market. So both the patients and the doctors are not satisfied with the current experience of the healthcare setting. I am also a cancer survivor. So I have experienced the healthcare setting from both the patient side and the provider side. So that's why we built Analgesia. And the Analgesia is our AI tool. And Analgesia is meant to relieve the pain of documentation.
I love it. That's great. Well, you know, and you're exactly right. I mean, that's a discussion I have with our providers all the time about, you know, the documentation and the amount of time that it takes. And so, you know, I mean, personally, my wife was a teacher for 15 years. She loved teaching the kids, but it was the documentation side that really got to her and led to her leaving the industry. And we're seeing that very same thing, you know, particularly nursing, but also some physicians are saying, you know what, I've had enough. And so, you know, I think this is a great thing. You know, and again, I want to learn more about AI. I got to be honest with you. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it. But what I have done, and I just did this a couple of weeks ago, is I used ChatGPT. I said, okay, this I need a letter written in this tone regarding this topic. And I got to admit, I'm a pretty good writer. I mean, I did pretty well. But it was amazing just the few prompts that I put in, and it spit out a letter. I'm watching it, you know, on my screen, just amazed. And the test for all this was I handed it to my wife and I said, tell me what you think. She goes, well, it sounds like you, but you would have taken a week to write it to get to this format. And so, so, you know, that's my experience. And so I'm like, I'm using it more and more. So tell me, you know, with analgesia, you know, how is that going to, besides the time standpoint, how is that going to impact providers and make their lives easier and allow them more time to actually deliver direct patient care?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me talk a little bit about a lot that you mentioned here. So you mentioned nurses, and nurses also can use analgesia, by the way. And there is a huge shortage of nurses, especially at hospitals right now, as you may tell.
Oh, I know.
So we built the software to also work with nurses and nurse practitioners. So it doesn't matter what type of practitioner you are, you can use analgesia. But what we believe then is that when you go and talk to your provider, to your doctor, you want them to look at you in the eye. You want them to look at you instead of typing or writing on a piece of note, taking notes. You want them to focus on what you're saying, to also look at you, because, you know, there's more to healthcare and providing healthcare than an algorithm. So there's the experience involved. And these people go to school and have trainings for, 12 years, 15 years, depending on the specialty. So there's a lot to it. And part of it stems from just looking at the patients. Even the nurses, when I talk to the nurses, they say, we look at the patients. We need to look at the patients and assess how they look, if there is something that's off. And with all of these EHRs, now the nurses or the doctors don't have the time to look at the patient, listen to the patient carefully, et cetera. And even from my own case, as a patient, I was misdiagnosed twice, going to the ER, sent back with pain medicine and a recommendation for a healthier diet. And the reason being, everything that I was saying to the nurses, to the triage nurses, was not adequately added to the EHR, and it was not added to the conversation or relayed to the physician. So that led to misdiagnosis. So what we are giving right now to providers are, one, the time to focus on looking at the patients, listening to the patient, their undivided attention, but also we have a lot more features that will help the providers. So for one, we list a complete list of differential diagnoses. So on top of just extracting the information from the conversation, we also list all the different diagnoses that could be possible for that specific patient. And on top of that, we add the ICD-10 codes automatically, so the doctors don't have to go and look
for
those ICD-10 codes. The billing people love us for that. It generates automatically a SOAP note. It also generates a patient's report in layman's terms. And this is mainly for senior patients, for them to take home or to give to their caregivers. And also for specialists, we generate a report for the referring physician. So the referring physician would get a very precise and concise report with the diagnosis and the plan.
Okay.
That gives the provider, one, the opportunity to take the time to do what they want or they love to do the most, which is treating patients, and less time with documentation. We also have help with the nurses. So instead of spending the time with charting, the nurses can see more patients. So that's very helpful and very attractive. So when we talk to hospitals, they do like that very much. And for the patients, they do love that their providers are actually looking at them. They're taking the time to listen to them and to give them their undivided attention.
Yeah, I mean, we hear that so much. I mean, and I'm going to say our physicians do a really nice job of that. But, you know, we do hear every now and then from patients say, you know, my doctor was so concerned about, you know, looking at their tablet or whatever. And I didn't feel like, you know, we had that chance to connect. So we've talked about, you know, enhancing access. How can analgesia really help with improving health equity?
All right. Well, another feature that we have, and I believe we are the only ones in the market to have that, is real-time translation. So we offer real-time translation from and to 50 languages. So when the patients, the non-speaking patients, which are, I believe there are 25 million non-speaking patients here in the U.S. today. So all of these people, when they go to see the doctor, they either need to bring an interpreter, or the provider needs to have an interpreter either at the office or by phone. They contact an interpreter and then the interpreter gets the, or a third option that's available today, mainly at hospitals, is they record the entire voice, either conversation or just the patient talking, and then they call this service and they wait 25 minutes for the translation to come back. So they can handle the patient's symptoms. But with analgesia, you get real-time translation. So the patient talks in their native language, it translates it in real time, it translates it in English, and then back from English when the doctor is speaking to the patient's native language. So we believe that that's helpful with access to care and also for providers to increase their market share. So if you are offering this feature and people know about it, you'll get a lot more of non-English speaking patients coming to your office.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, we deal a lot, obviously, with interpreters here at my hospital. And even with utilizing an interpretation service, they don't have all of the languages and all the dialects that we encounter, even here in Central Texas. And so that's great to hear, you know, that can work. Now, has your analgesia been approved by like Medicare and CMS, you know, as a legitimate and appropriate interpretation tool?
All right. Thank you so much for telling me that, because we need that is a wonderful question. Because as of right now, the AI tools that are available are not being tested. There is no metrics. It's whatever the vendor is telling you it does, and you can test it. So it's not really approved. But what we have right now, what we currently have, are the major EHRs that are available in the market. So we have the Epic, the Athena, the Cerner, and those, they actually approve those functionalities. So as of now, we are available on Athena Marketplace. We're available on Epic Showroom, and that just goes to say that we are, it has been tested for that, those functionalities. Another thing that I wanted to add is that people ask me, why not just use ChatGPT, right? I mean, you use ChatGPT, it can do wonders, right? But with ChatGPT, there are a lot of features that are lacking. So for one, there's the security and privacy. So the tool that we're using is HIPAA compliant. So we have full privacy for our patient data and also for security, because we don't want our patient data to be disclosed or to be out there in any way, shape, or form. So we use the highest standards of security to secure our patient data. And also, another thing that we have, if you read anything about AI or ChatGPT, you would hear the term hallucinations, which means that the ChatGPT, if it doesn't know something, it simply makes it up. So you are talking to your patients and you don't mention maybe the age of the patient, you don't mention the gender. If you're using ChatGPT, I can guarantee you that it will make that up. So it will add that to the notes. It will add all of that fake information into the notes. And we are very proud to say that we have 0% hallucinations with our tool. So because we are integrating NLP, this is a very much refined model that we're using. and it does not hallucinate. So all of our providers that are who are using analgesia today are saying we have 0% hallucinations. If something is not mentioned, if we're talking to the patient, we did not mention allergies, it just says no allergies were mentioned. So there are absolutely no hallucinations. Also, another thing that we add on top of generating the notes. So before we generate the notes, we extract the data in a way that's very simple for the providers to look at. So for example, let's say the nurse goes in first, talks to the patient. We extract that data, and then the nurse hands the iPad to the provider, to the doctor coming into the room. The doctor can look at the extracted data, and they can see what's wrong with the patient before they get into the room. So with a single glance, they can see all of the data that was extracted, and so that way they don't repeat the same questions. They have that information, so they build on top of that. So one, that saves them a lot of time, and two, it gives them control. So our doctors are worried that AI will replace them. We're not trying to replace doctors by any means. What we're trying to do is to help doctors, and we are providing all the control that they want to have. So they have the control to add to that information, delete information, edit it at several times. Point in time in the process. So when they go into the room, if they look at the nurse's data, they see something they don't like. They can delete it. They can add to it. They consult the patient. They can record the conversation, extract again. They have another round of the possibility to edit again, and then they generate the notes. And one more time, they can edit that note, review it, revise it before they submit it. So we are not replacing the doctors, and we are and a lot of control to the doctors to say, okay, we want to add this, we want to remove this. So we're giving them that control that they want to have to perform their consultation and their documentation. Because believe it or not, even though the doctors complain about documentation day in and day out, documentation is extremely important. They go back to it and to treat that patient again for follow-up. If the doctor wants to look at that patient, they need to look at those records. So those records are extremely important. It's important that no fake data or no wrong data is there. It's important that we didn't miss anything, as it was the case in my my journey in healthcare. A lot of my information was missing. So it's important that we don't miss anything, and it's important that we don't add anything. So on top of refining our model, and on top of the guarantees that we give that we have zero hallucinations, we also allow the patient, the doctors or the physicians or the nurses to add or to edit as much as they feel is needed.
Okay. Well, and it's, you know, you were talking about the question that you posed, why don't you just use ChatGPT? Well, you know, I, again, in my limited playing around with that, you know, I found that ChatGPT actually makes some value judgments. And so, you know, it will come back and say, I'm sorry, I can't address that. Or, you know, as you said, I didn't know it was called a hallucination, but it made things up. And so it sounds like with analgesia, you know, it's dealing strictly with facts. Exactly. And it's not trying to alter the facts or trying to make a value judgment on facts. It's just like, straight line facts, this is what we do. And this is whatever the physician or the provider puts in, it's laid out there for them. So that's great. You know, looking at a product like this, it's obvious where, you know, you can save costs. You know, you save, you know, administrative costs, certainly, but also just time.
Saves a lot of time, and it saves costs, and also it helps with billing. So we are in the process of doing a study. We're trying to see how much we can help with the billing. So with the denials and also with the return claims. So a lot of times we send the claim, and then the claim comes back either incomplete or so. And most of the time it's missing information. So the software is continuously learning to see what's missing in that note. So the next time around, the more you use it, the better it gets. So, and the next time around, it knows that you need to add this specific ICD-10 code. You need to add this specific document, attach it, et cetera.
Okay. Well, and finally, you know, another great piece of this is just, you know, improving provider satisfaction and alleviating burnout. Because as we said earlier, you know, we've got a lot of people leaving the industry just because of that. And so, you know, anytime that we, you know, you can automate the documentation, but also, I mean, you just brought something up that made me think of a question. Okay, say I am a plastic surgeon and I start using analgesia, you know, so you're saying as that goes along, that's going to basically learn my personal practice preferences and then prompt me in a way that will help guide me in my own practice in plastic surgery. Right.
Absolutely. So the first time that we work with the provider, we go in, we look at the operational process. So how do you work? How do you actually work? Do you have nurses? Do you have many consultation rooms or one consultation room? Who is your staff? Who, et cetera. So we make sure that our tool fits exactly the process, your operational process in-house. And then once we install the tool as the algorithm is being used, it learns. It learns from that specific provider. So certain providers write more in their assessment section than others. Certain providers, their review of systems is specific to them. They do it in a certain way. So the algorithm would learn that, and the algorithm will adapt to that way of documentation. So it learns, and then it continuously improves based on what that specific practitioner is doing.
Okay. See, I really like that. That's pretty cool. You know, and we've already talked about ICD-10 coding, but also, you know, looking at some of the information that you provided me in advance. Yeah. Again, learning that specific practitioner, subspecialty, or whatever, but also providing them with potential diagnoses. Because yeah, and particularly you know in the really you know the high level subspecialties, you try to know everything, but you can't. And so there's often oftentimes that you're not quite sure what you know Mrs. Smith's specific symptoms might be leading to. So talk a little bit about that. That's quite fascinating.
So the diagnoses that we generate are twofold. So we have the diagnoses that are generated from the symptoms. So for example, we say, and those for billing purposes. So for example, the patient mentions that they're taking insulin. Okay. So the tool automatically would tell you that the patient has diabetes and has the ICD-10 codes for diabetes for primary care providers. So let's say I'm a primary care provider and my patient is talking to me, they're giving me the list of medications. So not only we extract the list of medications, we also, based on those medications, we can generate a list of diseases or current conditions that the patient has, and then we include ICD-10 codes for those. So that helps with the billing a lot, especially with primary care. We have quite a few primary care providers using analgesia. It helps them so much with their documentation because as the patient is talking, it generates or it understands the implied conditions that the patient already has. So that is one thing. And then the second set of diagnoses that we generate is a list of differential diagnoses from the current systems. So we collect the history of present illness and we collect the present symptoms. And then based on that, we generate a list of differential diagnoses that could possibly be as a diagnosis for those patients. And then it's up to the provider to keep or delete or to add to that list. So that list comes with the ICD-10 codes, and then it's up to the provider to either add them, delete them, or keep them.
Okay. Boy, I tell you, this has been really, really interesting. Yeah, coming into AI, you know, writing a letter or two using it, that's, you know, and playing around, you know, for maybe 30 minutes in it. So thanks for being on, number one. Number two, any final comments? You know, how are you marketing analgesia? You know, where can providers or health systems go to find out more information about that?
Absolutely. So for Athena Health and Epic providers, they can go on the marketplace. They can find us. Just type in Luba or analgesia, and they can find our page. I recommend that providers email me directly. That's drlina@luba.ai, dr. Lina, L-I-N-A, at luba.ai. And I would be more than happy to have a demo, to provide a demo, or to go to the actual office and demo to the physician and to the entire practice how analgesia works. And most of our doctors provided are very impressed from our initial demo. We also provide a month free trial, no commitment needed. Just because we know once the provider is needed, they're addicted to it, they can't go back. So
I can imagine.
Pretty confident in our tool right there.
Well, that's great. Again, Lina, it's been a real pleasure. You know, I have a funny feeling you'll be creating some more AI apps. And whenever you do that in the future, I'd love to have you come back on and hear, you know, what other spaces that you're looking into. So, well, folks, we're gonna wrap up yet another episode of I Don't Care today. Thanks again to Dr. Lina Boyad, the founder and CEO of Luba. Like she said, if you want more information, contact Dr. Lina at luba.ai. And with that, thanks again for watching and or listening, or both preferably. And I'll see you next week. Take care.